To keep the general population conflicted, better lick your finger and turn a page. Dissect the lines that made you to rage. Get out of your Monday drudgery. Turn up the volume on front page fuckery. Yeah.
Hi, everyone. I am back. It's me, Kelechi, aka Baby Girl, aka Mother of London, back with another episode of Front Page Fuckery, where we take bad news and turn it into good conversation. So if you are unaware of who I am, like I said, I'm Kelechi, and I hope to be one of your favorite things about Monday. And for those of you who are already familiar with me, we are back, baby. We are back. We are up. Hopefully, if you're watching this, you can see that the camera quality is different. The audio quality better just be enough and be okay, because last week I was hearing some zzz, it was pissing me off. So I'm hoping that's better. But let me deal with one thing at a time. I am just a girl, okay? But things have been happening. Crazy things have really been happening. And in the show, I just look at the front pages of the newspapers and just give my sort of irreverent, slightly chaotic, very expletive filled kind of views, and we go with that. But what I was going to say about the camera quality, you'll notice that it's different, because I have been suffering with that. What's that camera called? It is a Sony Sham. Sony, is it A6? I don't know, but I've got all I know is that it's had me on the ropes. So I've put that to the side, and I'm actually just using my DJI Pocket 3 camera. Courtesy, the idea came from one of my friends who was like, am I even in the middle third? Oh, gosh, I hate camera things. My friend Micah was like, you should, why don't you just use your camera? Because I hated how fuzzy it was looking. I couldn't get it to focus properly, the other camera. I'm going to laugh if after I said all of that, this camera isn't focused either. But it should be, because I love my DJI. So yes, I'm here doing bits. Back in my office, for those who don't know, because you're not in a private members area on my website, which is called Kaleidoscope. So do come and join, come over and have some fun over there. Very different content, but it's the same me. So you know it's going to hit. I'm in my office, and this office building is actually pissing me off. They are the worst office group that I've come across ever. Like, they raise their rent, but they don't improve on the quality of the actual building. They're like the sink. There was a point where the bathroom sinks weren't even, you couldn't even get water out of them. They barely clean the building as it is, like just the communal areas. They don't clean it. And yet they want to raise prices. They've recently changed it, so we have to pay for parking. One of the perks was like, you can park on the premises for free. They've changed that. And just generally, they have very, very rude staff that you have to communicate with. And they're always fucking some kind of shit up, like from the finance department. And so how are you flopping, but you still got attitude, is what I don't understand. So if you know of any very, very cute places and spaces, but I don't want to pay no silly, stupid amount, is also another thing. Well, you get what you pay for, Kelechi. But really, like, let's be serious. Or if you are the one that runs a space, give it to me for a discounted price. I'm good for it. Because I'm just a cutie. Just a cutie. Anyway, enough of that. How are you, friend? How are you doing? What are you seeing on your front pages? How are things going, right? I really want to hear what you've read about in the newspapers that you think I should know about. So don't ever shy away from sending me messages on sym@kelechiokafor.com. Do let me know, Wagwan, on your front pages. I really want to hear that, so I can read it out in the Your Front section. Now, one of you sent me for Your Front. Should I do it now or do it later? I guess I could do it later, because I wanted to laugh at Tommy Robinson, aka Stephen Yaxley Lennon, but I can always do that in a bit. Just have to remember not to forget. Lol. Oh, a lot has been happening that won't show up in the front pages, not for the kind of front pages that we're looking at. But there's been recent conversation about Dr. Umar For those who don't know, Dr. Umar is a self-styled sort of, I don't know, broadcaster and quote unquote intellectual. I wouldn't agree with that part. I could say pseudo-intellectual, semi-intellectual, because you can have the knowledge and just read it and use it ass backwards. So there's that. He's a black man and he's, you know, presents himself as a Pan-Africanist and a pro-black this, that and the other. And he's notorious for saying that, you know, people who date white people are a failure, and they black people who date white people rather, or non-black people. So black people who date non-black people, especially if they date white people, are useless to the cause and they're this, that and the other. He doesn't really offend me because as far as I'm concerned, he's an entertainer. He just says shit. I struggle to take him seriously, and it's sad that other people actually do take him seriously. And so the critique around him currently is that he has been receiving money for years to build a school. He's trying to build a school somewhere in America, and he's been at this for over 10 years and the school's still not up and running. And people are like, oh, it's just so hard. You don't understand. It's so hard to get a school going. But is it because you also don't want to accept help because you want to be the great? Is it also because you've been using the money anyhow? Is it because you're not having women actually around to help you because you see yourself as above them? There are so many reasons why that's not happened. And then your aunties could never podcast, who I love them, the babes. They had Shaka Bars on recently, and he's like the UK version, I would say, of Dr. Umar, but not as inflammatory, I would say, maybe in his statements. I mean, I still feel like the theme of misogyny runs through them, but they express it differently. Anyway, he was saying that people should focus on Dr. Umar's message and not what he hasn't done. So what if he hasn't built the school? It doesn't matter. You shouldn't talk down on him because he's given our community language. He's given our, what language has he given the community other than being able to call white women snow bunnies and say things like, if you're with a white woman, just enjoy the ice storm because you're with a snow bunny. Enjoy it. Like, he's memeable. He gives things to popular culture. He gives people things to laugh at, right? Whether mean-spirited or otherwise, he gives people that. But language, por favor, language. Okay. But of course, he's got to say that because money was also given to him to do something that he never really did. And I feel like I said this in my Instagram stories, but I have a problem with this. You can't question men. You shouldn't question men. You shouldn't question these people about what they've done with the money because they've done more for the black community than... No. You might be able to run that bullshit with other people. You can't run that bullshit with me. You've done more for the black community. Out of the three of us, I actually built the shit that I said I was going to build. My children's home in Nigeria is up and running. About 9 children living there currently, healthy, doing well. We thank the Most High. I've got staff that are there. I put up solar panels so they're not, so the light going or the electricity going doesn't affect us as much. I did that shit, right? I've put in the cameras and everything, also solar powered, so I'm not relying on electricity to make sure or to ensure the safety of the children. I did that, right? But my mum had a vision. We brought the vision to life using most of my money over the past few years since 2019 to do this. 2022, I announced what I was doing. People donated generously and beautifully. I was able to complete the project in May 2024. So over a year, I have had a children's home and resource center running in Lagos, Nigeria. So don't tell me about how long something takes to be done, right? You definitely should have completed the blood clot after 15 years. You definitely should have receipts for what you've done. But apparently you don't question them. You don't say things. You don't ask questions. And I will ask about whatever the hell I want to ask, actually. I just thought it was important to share that. And then one pick me came into my comments and was like, or into my DMs, doesn't follow me apparently. And she wrote, oh, you're graying. You look like you're graying in terms of the gray hairs that I have. You look like you're graying before your time. Easy, nah? I said, I've had gray hairs from young, you dizzy bitch. Because sometimes people need to call some of you lot what you actually are, and you're a dizzy bitch. It's the thing. Imagine trying to shame someone for having grey hairs when I actually have talked about it for years, that I can't wait for all of my hair to turn silver. Like, I cannot wait. Imagine. Look what a hot body can do. My body's tight. I'm still doing Muay Thai. And my hair's just silver. Oh, come through, Peckham's answer to Storm. Oh, ha. And then I'll wear a white suit too. Some days. Booty's pokey. The booty's just sit. Oh, don't get me started. Don't get me fucking started. Right? But some of you really need to behave yourselves, because I don't know where there's this culture of people age shaming. The where I will age shame someone is if I don't think that their wisdom matches their age, right? What they're, well, no, I'm lying. All I'm saying is there are these people who are like, oh my God, look at these 30-year-olds. Look at these 35-year-olds. Look at da-da-da-da-da. So are you saying that you're going to buy? Are you saying that you're going to die before that age, because you two are going to be that age? Or are you saying you're going to do that age differently? Well, when you get there, show us. Like, I love to see a bad bitch work. Show us. So I just think all of this back and forth about age, you know, I was saying it a couple of episodes ago about how people keep getting onto Gen Z. Gen Z are the ones across, what is it, Malaysia, Nepal, like all of these different places, Peru. I don't know why I said it like that, Peru, but you get what I mean. Like, they are burning shit down because they're tired of the nonsense that their governments are doing. I rate it. It's the Gen Z that are doing that, while the rest of us are just pontificating and worrying about mortgage. That's where they got us millennials, made us aspire to have fancy pieces of debt. Like, oh, you want to work a 9 to 5. In fact, work 8 to 6. In fact, work 7 to 10. Work all of these days so you can have the money sort of to buy a place. But really, you're just paying the deposit and then you'll keep paying it off for however fucking long. But hey, you have a life. You have a life that was denied to your elders because of a white racist society. You now have the debt. Isn't that glorious? So when you see Gen Z pushing against things, you're like, why are they doing that? Why don't they want to work these office hours? Why do they want to do whatever they want? Because you should have also, always wanted to do whatever the hell you want. We should have always wanted to do that, whatever the hell we want. But everything happens gradually. It happens. It changes generally, generationally. And we have to encourage the change. But it's sometimes going to make us feel a type of way, because it's like, oh, they're doing things differently. And rightly so, they should be. So I just wanted to share that. Anyway, shall we get into the bits? The bits. If you don't watch Steven Universe, that won't make any sense to you. Oh, that was funny at the time, but I don't. Well, anyway, I was just saying, I had it in my notes. I was just like, for all the things that I do, for all of the things that I've done, building the children's home, actually giving the language, actually giving people the things in a perspective that they need from, like, in a nuanced way. Let me lips a white man one time. And it's like, we can't trust her. We can't trust her. But you can give millions to Dr. Umar. You can give thousands to Shaka Barz, and they don't have to show you proof of what they've done just because they allegedly, apparently, rock with black women. Okay. And that is how you will continue to be swindled. Stay there. I won't lose you. Anyway, so this week, in terms of the papers, I've got The Guardian, I've got The Times, I've got the iPaper, I've got Daily Mail, and I've got the Daily Telegraph. Did I get another one? I think I was going to pick up one. No, maybe I didn't pick it up. There was one that I'd considered picking up, but I know that I didn't get it. I know we don't fuck with The Sun, big up Liverpool. So Hillsborough, you know, justice forever. So I haven't picked up The Sun. I don't think I did, but I saw something on there that I was like, oh, that's interesting. But I don't think I ended up picking it up. Couldn't make myself do it. So let's start with the Daily Telegraph then. So I'm not going to read the whole thing because I know you probably don't want to hear that. I mean, some of you like it. You said you like how I read. The Daily Telegraph, it says here, Farage, I'll kick out hundreds of thousands. Reform leader promises drastic action on those with indefinite leave to remain in the UK, which is crazy because you've given them indefinite leave to remain. For those who don't understand what the word indefinite means, it means that there is no definite, there is no specific time frame that you have to leave. You can stay forever. You could stay indefinitely. There is no, you don't have to leave at a definite time or a defined time. This pussyclaw is now saying he wants to change that. Whereas for some people, that gives them the real freedom to be here and to work. All people are ever doing is working. Rarely are people coming here and be like, oh, now I'm going to scrounge off the state. People are working. The people who actually are quote unquote scrounging off the state are people who are natives, quote unquote, to this country. And I don't see it as scrounging, essentially. I see it as getting the things that you are owed by your government and by your country, but you call it whatever you want. Nigel Farage will today pledge to eject hundreds of thousands of legal migrants in an unprecedented reversal of Britain's relaxed border rules. The Reform leader will unveil plans to force all migrants with permanent residency to reapply for visas under stricter criteria, including a higher salary requirement and a better standard of English. So this better standard of English, can your actual English people speak it? Because when you looked at that march that happened last week, or when is it, two Saturdays ago, they were struggling with English. The Englishmen were struggling with English. Are you sure you want to do this? How many English people, how many British people would pass the life in Britain test? How many? I'm very interested because I don't think it would be many at all. What a sad day. Well, I don't need to pass it because I'm from here. Well, if you don't actually know how your country's meant to work, then what are you doing? Crazy. Crazy. The party would also change the law to prevent foreign nationals from accessing the British welfare system. They weren't anyway, saving an estimated £234 billion over the lifetime of the average migrant. But remember that this was the same guy that said to you, if you vote Brexit, Nigel Farage and his ugly self keeps leading you into fuckery. Hence front page fuckery. He keeps leading you into fuckery. He told you Brexit, Brexit, because we're going to have money for the NHS. So please tell me then why the NHS is now struggling more than ever. This £234 billion that they said is now suddenly miraculously going to come your way. Look at my nostril. Look right into my nostril, right? You will not smell that money. You as the British public will not smell that money. It's going to go to different contracts that they've been giving their friends for ages. When you follow a lot of the money and for, you know, all these bids and all these tenders that are going around the place, you understand that Britain is a fucking money laundering scheme. It is a mass money laundering scheme. And it's the everyday people who are struggling, who are suffering for it. And when it's called out that, hey, this is what's going on, then people are like, oh, don't say that. You don't know that. It's them fucking immigrants. They're the ones who are doing it. And it's like, don't play yourself. Like, one of the things that I love so much about Britain and is British humour. We, and I say we loosely, are funny as fuck. It requires a certain level of intelligence. So when people present the people who go to these marches and all of that as dumb, I'm like, nah. British people, the average British person isn't dumb. They information is withheld from them, so they make certain decisions that are not in their own favor. And they have been socialized and they have been bred on the breast milk of xenophobia by Lady Britannia. And now that they're poisoned and they're sick, they're blaming other people, but it's like it's your mother that poisoned you that is this country. Deal with that. Anyway, writing in the Telegraph, Reform Policy Chief Zia Yusuf said the changes of people having to apply, the changes would lead to hundreds of thousands of people having to apply and ultimately losing their settled status in the UK on a staggered basis to prevent disruption to business. Oh, so you want them to go bit by bit. You want people to be stressed about being kicked out whilst you still continue to benefit from them being here. And this is what's going to happen. I can tell you a play by play if you'll allow me, because you'll allegedly get all of those people out, right? And then you'll see that the economy plummets even further. Poor people become even more poor. And then who are you going to blame then? You're going to turn in on each other. Rates of domestic violence is going to go up. Even more paedophilia is going to happen because people are miserable, have a lot of time on their hands, and they want to attack somebody more vulnerable than themselves, which would therefore be children, right? Other people will become more religious, so there'll be more child abuse in the church. It's also one of the things. And then the only way that you'll see to survive is to go and join an institution like the army, so you get regular money, or go to prison so you can guarantee yourself regular food. So crime will actually go up. And I said this on Say Your Mind podcast ages ago, but I did see in the tarot and in a bit of the astrology that there will be a mass exodus of black people from the UK. They are either going to leave of their own accord or they'll be kicked out. But one of them, there's going to be, or, you know, one of them is going to play out for each type of person. But there will be a mass exodus of people leaving, black people leaving the UK, because there's going to come a point where you're just going to be like, enough is enough. And that march was just a teeny bit. It was just a smidgen, just a sprinkling to show you what is coming. You will not recognize your neighbors when they turn against you. Ask yourself right now, if the purge, you know, the purge where you can kill anyone you want. Once the sun goes down, you have what, those 12 hours or whatever between sundown and sun up, or is it 24 hours? Anyway, to kill whoever you want in your neighborhood. Can you guarantee that the neighbors in your area wouldn't kill you? Think about it. Don't think I can't feel that there's something wrong. Sorry, it just came into my mind. The announcement marks a new campaign by Reform against the Boris wave of 3.8 million people who moved to the UK after Brexit under more relaxed rules introduced by Boris Johnson's government. Mr. Farage will warn that Boris wave migrants will become eligible for indefinite leave to remain in January, giving them catastrophic lifetime access to the NHS and welfare benefits. But that means that in that time since, they haven't actually had access and they've just been working away anyway. So if they've been putting money into a system, why should they not be able to get the benefits out of that system that they've already been paying into? He will pledge to abolish ILR, indefinite leave to remain, entirely within 100 days of a Reform government winning office, forcing economic migrants to apply for visas with stricter conditions. The government does not publish figures on the number of migrants with ILR status, but there were a further, 163,353 grants of settlement in the year to June 2025, an increase of 18% and on the previous year. The total figure could become over 1 million. Sir Keir Starmer faces growing pressure over his one in one out migration deal with France, which has succeeded in deporting just Nah, this guy's such a loser, but I'm glad that he's losing. It says here, Sir Keir Starmer faces growing pressure over his one in, one out migration deal with France, which has succeeded in deporting just three people since it came into force. He has also promised to bring down net migration of legal arrivals to the UK, which fell last year to 431,000, but remains significantly higher than pre-Brexit levels. Currently, foreign nationals can apply for indefinite leave to remain after spending 5 years in the UK and convert their settled status to citizenship after a further 12 months. But under Reform's plans, migrants would be forced to reapply for their visas every 5 years, meet a higher salary threshold than the current level of £35,800 for skilled workers, and wait 7 years before applying for a British passport. They would also be required to prove they are professionally fluent in English and have good character and a clean criminal record. Any applicant who has spent more than 90 days outside of the UK or claimed benefits would be banned from remaining in the country. It's interesting to me because you're saying that they would be required to be professionally fluent in English, which your average British person actually is not. the ones that I've seen anyway, because how else is the reading age? How's the average reading age in this country 9 years old, but you want these lot who are coming in to be fluent, professionally fluent in English, so you want them to help your country out because your country people can't read? And a clean criminal record. That's so interesting, because how many MPs would have clean criminal records if we were really to check? How many members of the royal family would have clean criminal records? Because certain people were settling because they were touching little girls. So we can bear that in mind. So I'm just saying that if we were to follow this, who would actually be eligible? Who is actually off here, as they claim? It's just interesting to me. What's this now? Erica Kirk, I forgive my husband's killer. Girl, shut up. This production is boring. Erica Kirk, Charlie Kirk's widow, sheds a tear at his memorial service in Arizona, which was attended by Donald Trump and thousands of supporters. I cackled. Why was this man dancing to America? He was dancing like you're standing next to a grieving widow. Do you have no couth, no decorum? Jesus. Not the one they believe in. Harry can't be half in, half out, says King. The King has made it absolutely clear that the Duke of Sussex cannot be a half in, half out member of the royal family. The King, who met his younger son for 54 minutes at Clarence House. Charles is such a deadbeat. Christ almighty. The King, who met his younger son for 54 minutes at Clarence House earlier this month, will continue to uphold the late Queen's wish that members of the royal family do not undertake official duties while also earning money. But you lot are pussyclucks because you're earning money in very underhanded ways. Like, you have your loopholes for you to be earning money. So why are you pretending? It is understood that the father and son may meet privately on an occasional basis now that the Duke, was it, has appeared to draw a line under his high-profile public criticisms of the monarchy, and his Home Office security hearing is over, but he will not be permitted to join the royal family in any official public role. A royal source said, the King has been absolutely clear in upholding his late mother's decision that there can be no half-in, half-out public role for members of the family. The Duke is believed to want to make more public appearances in Britain after a four-day trip earlier this month when he attended an award ceremony and visited charitable organizations. The trip, royal commentators noted, closely resembled the work he did while in the royal family. He's reported to have been given Metropolitan Police security for the Well Child Awards, using his own protection team for the rest. The Mail on Sunday claimed that high-level talks were underway between aides to bring the King and the Duke together for a public show of unity. The newspaper reported that Buckingham Palace courtiers and Sussex staff were tentatively discussing for the pair to get together more frequently over the next year, with a view to them finally appearing jointly at a public event. Prince Harry is known to hope that his father will attend the Invictus Games in Birmingham in 2027. Ooh, child, will he be alive that long? The Mail on Sunday claimed that the Duke might now take part in more public events in Britain outside of the royal family, returning four or five times a year. A source told the paper it didn't need to be as part of the working royal family. A source is reported to have added pointedly, Harry's visit to the UK was not about trying to show up or compete with his brother. In fact, the opposite. It was to remind William that Harry on there can be there to take some of the load off, given some of the criticism William has received for carrying out a lower number of engagements than his father. In 2020, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex announced they intended to step back as senior members of the royal family. In a statement, they said, "We now plan to balance our time between the United Kingdom and North America, continuing to honour our duty to the Queen, the Commonwealth and our patronages." But following Sandringham Summit, Buckingham Palace said they could no longer formally represent her. Oh well, like, there are other things to do, child. Hamas declares victory after Starmer recognises Palestine. Well, we've got some of this in other places. Second runway approved for Gatwick. Fergie faces questions over Epstein money. Ooh. The Duchess of York is facing questions over her financial links to Jeffrey Epstein after emails revealed she called him a supreme friend, a supreme friend of white supremacy, a supreme friend. Sarah Ferguson has admitted to taking £15,000 from the convicted sex offender, but those close to him have claimed that her bailout could have run to hundreds of thousands of dollars. It comes as letters from her to the disgraced financier have emerged, which had called into question her account of their relationship. So are you telling me, because Fergie's always been a bit problematic, innit? Like, she's always like, wasn't, if I remember years and years and years ago, wasn't she caught on secret camera? You on candid camera now, ho? Wasn't she caught on secret camera organizing to be paid for something? I can't remember. Was it Fergie? It was, innit? She's the redhead one. So now we're hearing that what, she's got these dealings and he's given, what did he give you the £15,000 for, Fergie? And then you're the patron of a children's charity. Most of these pedos tend to be like, you tend to find them around children because that's where they can get access to them. Same as Jimmy Savile. Same, I would say, as Gary Glitter. All of them, like, they tend to be, and what's that one that would do? Was he Australian? And he would be, you know, the one, and he'll be moving the pan about and doing like a wallaby, you know, the one. Maybe you can write in the comments. I can't remember his name. It's probably going to come to me randomly, but the man them are pedos, to be honest. And it's a lot of the women who are helping to traffic these children because they seem innocent. And with her status, maybe she, like, her and Andrew have so much in common. Prince Andrew. The iPaper here says, Israel lashes out at UK for recognizing Palestine. You gonna cry. You gonna suffer. Cry about it. It's fine. Starmer's historic declaration on Palestinian statehood provokes furious response from the Israeli government and angers families of hostages killed or held by Hamas. Prime Minister says recognition is the only way of achieving peace in the Middle East. What is the Middle East? Anyway, and will help to secure a two-state solution. I know that there are Palestinians that feel a type of way about this two-state solution business because how are you... anyway. But Netanyahu accuses the UK of rewarding Hamas. Or should he reward the IDF, which he already has been doing for ages by supplying you with arms and saying that what you're doing is not genocide? And the way that people make it out, like, I'm not out here saying to you, Hamas are great, Hamas are great. What I'm saying to you is, did you not expect resistance? You are vilifying resistance to occupation, right? And isn't it, like, by any means necessary, a lot of these things? Again, I'm not out here saying any, I'm just saying, like, what do you mean rewarding Hamas? Israel's premier insists that there will be no Palestinian state and his government will push ahead with plan to build more settlements in the West Bank. UK will also announce tougher sanctions on Hamas following intense pressure from families of British-linked Israeli hostages and US during 2 months of negotiations. But this is my thing. Who does your recognition help? In the grand scheme of things, it just feels like another thing that Britain knew needed to be done because Starmer doesn't want to end up in The Hague. You have committed war crimes, bro. You are a war criminal. You are a criminal. Keir, you are a criminal. I hope you understand that. So everyone's now trying to cover their tracks like, oh no, we recognize. But isn't that interesting about power? Right. And those who have power have, they see themselves as having the power to dictate the conditions of your existence. And if they say that you don't exist, then the atrocities that are committed against you also don't exist. So then now it's like, okay, you've said that you recognize the Palestinian state. You're years late, FYI. You were able to recognize Israel as a state when they were on somebody else's land. But sure, okay. So now after 75 odd years, you're like, oh, we recognize the Palestinian state. What does that mean for them in terms of like being part of the conversation in a conducive and equally fair way? Equally and fair. Like, you get what I mean? In an equitable way. It just seems like it's more smoke and mirrors, because are you going to stop selling arms to Israel? It's all well and good recognizing a state and then supplying arms so that state can be eradicated. It just feels like insanity. I know that in the grand scheme of things, it is a step forward in some kind of direction, but they will, in this society, in this Western capitalist society, in this white supremacist society, what you get with one hand, they're going to take it back with two. The Guardian: Starmer declares UK recognition of Palestine as an independent state. So it says here, the UK now formally recognises Palestine as an independent state, Keir Starmer declared yesterday in a deeply symbolic announcement that the government hopes will show its commitment to peace in the region and ease domestic political tensions. In a sign of the global concern over the humanitarian crisis in Gaza, Canada and Australia also declared their recognition of Palestine yesterday before a conference of the UN General Assembly in New York. Israel's Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, immediately condemned the announcement, which the UK sees as a lever to push for a lasting settlement to end the illegal occupation of Palestine, calling it absurd and a reward for terrorism. Starmer insisted the government's decision was not a reward for Hamas and said the terrorist group's senior figures would face further UK sanctions in coming weeks, and the group would play no part in a future reformed and elected Palestinian government. So you're going to put puppets there like you've done in other countries? Interessante. All remaining Israeli hostages must be released, Starmer added. Downing Street believes the recognition will help counter some of the criticism it has faced at home, including from the cabinet and among Labour MPs over its response to the Gaza crisis in the run-up to what is expected to be a politically fraught annual conference. But also, that's what's interesting to me. So what happens to all of the people who were arrested for holding up signs that they support Palestine? What happens now? Because just the other day, even up till now, police were arresting people for holding up signs supporting Palestine. Do they just get new? Do they just get new information? Do they get new orders? Do they get new directives? Like, oh yeah, yeah, you know the people that you just arrested 5 hours ago. Yeah, we're not doing that anymore. It's totally fine. And this is why, how can you say that you as a police officer, you're doing good when you are being used as a pawn in this stupid, stupid game? What does it even mean? Anyway, in a video message to The Nation, Starmer said, the hope of a two-state solution is fading, but we cannot let that light go out. Today, to revive the hope of peace and a two-state solution, I state clearly as Prime Minister of this great country that the UK formally recognises the state of Palestine. In the face of the growing horrors in the Middle East, we are acting to keep alive the possibility of peace and a two-state solution. That means a safe and secure Israel alongside a viable Palestinian state. At the moment, we have neither. God punish you, you bitch. Read that again. Wheel it up, selector. In the face of the growing horrors in the Middle East, we are acting to keep alive the possibility of peace and a two-state solution. That means a safe and secure Israel alongside a viable Palestinian state. Viable. merely viable, merely just getting by. Israel will be safe and secure. You lot, viable, sort of breathing, get on with it. As long as we leave maybe 10 of you alive, it's viable. You can do your thing over there. Do you not see how in the violence is in the language? Oh, fuck, I hate it here. In an attempt to deal with criticisms of the announcement from the US and Israel, he said, let's be frank. Hamas is a brutal terror organization. Really? Our call for a genuine two-state solution is the exact opposite of their hateful vision. What's their hateful vision? That they want the Palestinian land back? Because all of it is Palestine. There's occupied Palestine and overall still Palestine. There is no Israel. So we are clear. This solution is not a reward for Hamas because it means Hamas can have no future, no role in government, no role in security. And who the fuck are you to be saying what people can and can't have? Again, it's this arrogance of the West, of Europe, of America. Who made you lot Big Daddy? I want Big Daddy. Who the fuck made you lot Big Daddy? That you're going to be telling people, well, we're not going to allow this and we're not going to allow that. I still find, I find politics so absurd because I couldn't be a leader because all the time I'll be looking at you lot like, who the fuck are you talking to? Crazy. But he concluded, the man-made humanitarian crisis in Gaza reaches new depths, yeah, that you've been funding. The Israeli government's relentless and increasing bombardment of Gaza, the offensive of recent weeks, the starvation and the devastation are utterly intolerable. Oh, so you were tolerating it before, you could stomach it before. It was fine before when it was just hundreds of thousands of people being killed and seeing babies blown apart. You could tolerate it. It was fine. But now you're feeling a bit queasy. Now it's a little bit too much. Tens of thousands have been killed, hundreds of thousands, including thousands as they try to collect food and water. This death and destruction horrifies all of us. It must end. Child, you're just making statements. Nation in grief. Trump leads tributes at Charlie Kirk Memorial. Tens of thousands gathered in Arizona yesterday for a public memorial to honor Charlie Kirk, the right-wing youth organizer. The right-wing youth organizer. What was he organizing? He was disorganizing. But I guess he was organizing and radicalizing the far right. The youth organizer who was fatally shot during an event at a Utah college. Donald Trump, his vice president, J.D. Vance, and Kirk's widow, Erica Kirk, were among the prominent officials and figures assembled to pay tribute to the murdered activist. I knew that word was coming. A reflection of his deep imprint on the president's MAGA movement. Trump, the last speaker, said, America was a nation in grief. Adding, less than 2 weeks ago, our country was robbed of one of the brightest lights in our times. He recounted key stages of Kirk's life and work, but could not resist mentioning politics with a reference to plans to send a National Guard troops or to send National Guard troops to Chicago. Well, the Times basically talks about, they have another picture of Miss Girl, Erica Kirk. And you know, they planned that image so carefully. Like, it's meant to look, what is it? Angelic. She's giving the girlies a smoky eyeshadow with her blue eyes. Is it blue or grey eyes glistening? They even did false lashes for her. You're grieving for your husband and you still have time to wear falsies. You still have time to wear mink lashes. And then the cross on her chest, the crucifix on her chest. It's giving way too many crystals anyway. What is all of this? Soon you'll be hearing that she's sleeping with one next pastor. Gatwick to get 100K extra flights a year on new second runway. Gatwick Airport has been given the green light for a second runway in a move that will pave the way for up to 100,000 extra flights a year. Heidi Alexander, the Transport Secretary, has approved a £2.2 billion scheme to bring the airport's emergency runway into regular use. Government believes that airport expansion is critical in securing economic growth. But you've also said you don't want people coming into the country. Forget the small boats, but you don't want immigrants here, as you claim. So why are you adding runways? I would say take the runways away. Don't let anybody out. Don't let anybody in. If you're serious about it, are you about it or not? Like, make up your mind. A government source said, with capacity constraints holding back business, trade and tourism, this is a no-brainer for growth. This government has taken unprecedented steps to get this done, navigating a needlessly complex planning system. It wasn't needlessly complex. It's an environmental issue. That's what people are telling you. It's an environmental issue. These extra 100,000 flights a year will be it'll wreak havoc on the environment. Pollution in that area will be even more for those who live in the surrounding areas. What's not clicking? Turn it on. But anything for capitalism, even our lives. Any airport expansion must be delivered in line with our legally binding climate change commitments, shut the fuck up, and meet strict environmental requirements. The project includes moving the airport's emergency northern runway 12 meters further north, building taxi ways, extending both terminals and installing new gates. The work would allow the two runways to have enough space between them to meet international standards. The upgraded northern runway will only be used for narrow-bodied single-aisle aircrafts. The project does not involve demolishing any residential properties and could be operational by 2030. Well, there you go. If you still have a Britain or an America by then. Alexander issued a minded to approve letter to the airport in February, but delayed a final decision to address all of the higgy-haggy, I imagine. What is it? Starmer is just getting cussed out by Israel and the hostages' families for recognizing Palestine. President Trump called, this says here, Kirk's widow says he tried to save boys like his killer. President Trump called for a time of healing as he joined mourners at a huge memorial service for the conservative influencer. That's even better. Conservative influencer Charlie Kirk. He flew to Arizona to give the final eulogy at the service, telling the crowd, "Today, America is a nation in grief, a nation in shock." In her address, Kirk's widow, Erica, said, "Charlie passionately wanted to reach and save the lost boys of the West. He wanted to save young men, just like the one who took his life." Bitch. In an emotional conclusion, greeted with long applause, she referred to her husband's killer, saying, "I forgive him." Speakers remembered remembered Kirk's success in mobilizing a conservative student movement with his Turning Point USA organization and vowed his legacy would be a stronger commitment to the right-wing values and the spread of Christian faith among the young. Kirk, 31, was shot at an event at Utah University on September 10th. Tyler Robinson, 22, has been charged with his murder. Officials think he was motivated in part by leftist ideology, whatever, because you know he was also another sect of the right wing. As he left the White House to head to the stadium in Glendale full to its 63,000 capacity, hours before the service, Trump said, "We want to look at it as a time of healing. That something like this could have happened is not even believable." Erica Kirk said that she has... said she had seen the faintest smile on her husband's face after his death. Isn't that just part of what happens in the process when you're dying? I think that was a neurological blip, babe. He blinked and saw his savior in paradise. I don't know. I don't know. Because if there is a God and if Jesus is the Son of God, that's not where your husband went, honey. he saw his savior in paradise, but we're not talking about the same thing. We can't be going to the same place. Elon Musk, who briefly sat by Trump and shook his hand, posted, "Honored to be here," or for Charlie Kirk. Elon Musk needs to just stay off ketamine and stop just prancing around the world doing bullshit. Charlie Kirk is worth more to the right-wing fascist movement dead than alive. And this is why they're making such a big deal about this, because they can create an ideology around him. They can create a hero out of him when he was nothing more than just any guy. And that's really what they are essentially aiming for. They can fabricate a whole narrative around him, because she's already started doing that about, "I saw a faint smile on his face." What's his name? Taylor, he took him out pretty quickly. Like, I don't know what kind of smile you thought you saw, honey, but not much was going on there. Not much was going on there. And was it a smile? Because his face looked sort of wonky. His hairline was sort of wonky. So if parts of his brain were shutting down because he's not getting much blood, it might straighten out his lips and you think it's a smile, but it was actually just a more facial harmonization. Maybe that's what was going on, but I don't know. I am speaking ill of the dead, but sometimes the dead shouldn't have been dickheads when they were alive. The final paper. Oh, it was Fergie. Fergalicious. I'm helping Epstein. I'm Fergalicious. No, not that Fergie. Sorry, no defamation. I'm not talking about you, Fergie. I'm just reminded of this one. Hamas claims victory after Starmer hands out a prize for terrorism. Oh, shut up. We've already read that. Royal exclusive. Will Fergie's Epstein emails allow Charles to finally exile the Yorks? The grand old Duke of York. He was a massive nonce. Hold on. 14 to 15. Here we go. Oh! You know, I don't be staying up with... you know, I don't be staying up with the law. So I'm seeing Prince Andrew in this picture with Fergie. The king may be forced to ban the Yorks from private family occasions such as Christmas over their latest scandal involving the paedophile Jeffrey Epstein. Although Buckingham Palace has not issued any public statement, there was a clear frustration in royal circles last night over a new revelation involving the publication of gushing emails from Sarah, Duchess of York, to the shamed financier following his release from jail on child sex offences. So you knew that he just came out of prison for child sex offences and you were sending him emails like he's your bestie. Oh, you too must be under the jail. Fergie, under the jail. Expeditiously. Because one thing we know is that the girlies who are part of this, Ghislaine is a perfect example of that. You lot are the ones that get got. The men manage to kind of navigate it, or they, one way or another, they get around it, or they get hung up by the neck for it. Whatever it is, they manage to escape the repercussions. But you women, oh, they flog you severely. Yes, sexism is bad. But in this case, I'm also glad that you've seen that you shouldn't have been doing that bullshit. In the correspondence, she issued a grovelling apology to Epstein for publicly disassociating herself from her supreme friend, Fergie. How many times did I call you? Amma, you are a paedophile, or you are a paedophile enabler, but evil one? Oh, baby, this is bad. Oh! This is bad. She was always begging for money. How are you a royal and every time you're just clapping your cheeks, just smacking your nyash about trying to get money from everyone? Isn't that the footage that we have of you from way back when? You're trying to swindle money them times as well. How are you so greedy? Always so hungry. Fergie, you hungry monster. The bombshell email shows Sarah had written to the convicted sex offender, to humbly apologize in 2011, just weeks after telling the press she had cut all ties with him. In an interview, the Duchess said her involvement with Epstein, who had served time for soliciting prostitution from a minor, that's a very wild statement. It's a very wild way to put some words, had been a gigantic error of judgment. A spokesman for Sarah said the email was sent to counter a threat Epstein had made to sue her for defamation. Even though the Duchess is the ex-wife of a non-working royal, the King has no control over what she says and does, publicly or privately. But the revelations again shine an uncomfortable spotlight on the Yorks' proximity to the royal family. While Sarah was persona non grata when Prince Philip was alive, Queen Elizabeth did allow her to accompany her family to royal estates when he wasn't around as a gesture of kindness towards Princesses Beatrice and Eugenie. The King further took pity on her when she was diagnosed with cancer, allowing her to join the family in Norfolk on Christmas Day, as well as Windsor Castle at Easter. But that may now have to stop, sources say. A friend of the Duchess said she had acted on advice when sending the grovelling email in an attempt to appease Epstein. Epstein aggressively threatened to sue her. He was a nasty, unpleasant and very threatening man. So where's the email? Where's the email where he was threatening her then? How did he threaten her? Was it a phone call? There should be proof. She acted on the advice she was given in writing the emails to try to get him to drop the threat. The friend added, she stands by what she said many years ago. She deeply regrets any association with him and abhors paedophilia. She doesn't abhor it enough, honey. She doesn't abhor it enough. I don't think she abhors it. I think she's about it. Okay. She has worked for many years to support vulnerable young people. No, now I don't believe that. And I want the young people to speak out against you if possible. A spokesman for the Duchess said the Duchess spoke of her regret about her association with Epstein many years ago. And as they have always been, her first thoughts are with the victims. Like many people, she was taken by his lies. As soon as she was aware of the extent of the allegations against him, she not only cut off contact, but condemned him publicly. So what did he threaten you with, baby? What did he have? Because you're claiming that he threatened to sue you for defamation. Well, the defense to defamation is truth. And the truth lies in the fact that he just came out of prison for being a pedo and for trying to trafficking children. The proof is already there. So anything that he was going to say about you, you could defend yourself against. So again, I ask you, what was the real reason that you were sending the groveling emails, if not for the fact that you two were about it and you two, maybe you were a madame? I mean, just pack the royal family up is what I'm saying. And she's married to a non-working royal. So why don't they want to say the name? Why don't they want to say who she's married to, or she, you know, the person she was with at the time or whatever? Why don't they want to say Prince Andrew's name? Why is he absolved from all of this? She to keep their life alive. I'm going to look because me, this is how they'll take my passport away from me. You know, let me not jinx myself because who is Prince Andrew's wife? Let's see. Get out of here. Reject all. In the summer of 1986, not my year, oh God, Prince Andrew and Sarah Ferguson married at Westminster Abbey. That's what I wanted to confirm for sure. So you were both, that was you lot's kink. You were both working together. Come and sue me now. You were both working together. You're Mr. and Mrs. Pedo of York. The grand old pedos of York. That is what you are. Because what? So you were emailing him. So that's how you managed to keep your boo, to keep your man. You were both pedos together. Two pedos in a pod. Ooh. Two pedos in a palace. Jesus. There was public shock last week when both appeared alongside senior royals at Westminster Cathedral at the funeral of the Duchess of Kent. One source told the Daily Mail that the king has tried every avenue available to him to ring fence his brother. This includes cutting off his private funding, withdrawing his security, and trying to persuade him to downsize from Royal Lodge, his 30-bedroom mansion at Windsor, by offering him an alternative accommodation. By doing this, the king hopes it will lessen the financial pressure on Andrew and make him less likely to pursue dangerous business deals or relationships. You think telling him just to downsize will deter him? Will deter him from wanting to touch children? Her? The obvious thing that you need to do in order to rein this man in, Charles, you don't want to do. Why? 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 Is there more to it? Are you in some way more brotherly, not just in blood? Do you have habits that are similar? Because if not, this should be dealt with more severely. You're merely asking him. The man was raping children, allegedly, but he managed to pay out a settlement for it. RIP Virginia Giuffre. Your brother was allegedly doing these heinous acts with this prolific paedophile. Look at how the Daily Mail have the energy to call Epstein paedophile in that article. I didn't even read it all the way through, and they called him paedophile bare times, but they don't actually mention Andrew directly. Why? Why cannot we not address the pedo in the room? The pink pedo in the room. Why not? The pink pedo in the palace. Why not? But we've got all this smoke to be talking about. Oh, well, Fergie was also sending emails. This royal family monarchy bullshit, wrap it up. You're basically suggesting to your brother, who is an alleged paedophile, to just merely give up a 30-room mansion. You don't think that what he's been accused of and what he ended up settling on, you don't think that that's severe enough for you to just get him the hell out? So you're harbouring a paedophile. Alleged war. You are all disgusting. Disgusting and disgraceful. My God. And I will never stop talking about it. There's nobody that can tell me anything about, oh, I just love the royals. I just love the monarchy. It's just a fairy tale. All of you that have gone to go and get MBEs, OBEs, and you're talking about, oh, it's just so whimsical. There's something magical about the royal family. You had a sword touch each of your shoulders from people who are harboring a paedophile, at least one, because don't get me started on Philip. I know he's roasting where he is, him and his boo. They're being flambéed, if that place is real. But really, yeah, that's, I mean, for your front, as in facial front, the only person I was going to talk about that you mentioned to me was Tommy Robinson. So Tommy Robinson, also known as Stephen Yaxley Lennon, he's a far right, they call him an activist, the same way they were calling Charlie Kirk a far right activist. He was deported. Beautiful poetry. Tommy deported. Far-right activist Tommy Robinson kicked out of two more Latin American countries following Uniting the Kingdom rally. Oh, this is it. So I didn't buy a physical version of The Sun, but for transparency, where I'm reading this from is The Sun's website. So sorry to all my people, but the reason, I'm going to tell you why specifically I'm reading it from there. He revealed he was detained and held while trying to enter in a video posted online. Far-right activist Tommy Robinson has been kicked out of two more Latin American countries. Robinson, 42. He's 42. Oh, life is not being kind to him. I'm not even age shaming. I'm just making an observation, because why are those veins at the corner of his head? Why are they popping like that? And why? Where are his nostrils? Did he donate it to the patron saint of cocaine? Anyway, Robinson, 42, who flew under his real name, Stephen Yaxley Lennon, said he went to Colombia's capital, Bogota, for a break after arranging last Saturday's Uniting the Kingdom rally. And I want you to take a moment with that. This man was there talking about, we don't want immigrants, we want people out of our country. And then when he finished riling you lot the fuck up, he said, oh, honey, time to get to Bogota. Time to go and party in Colombia. That's what he was saying. That's what that man was saying. He went to go and rest. He went to go and rest and relax and rejuvenate after getting you lot to be repugnant with racism. Ah, come through alliteration, bad man like Kelechi. Jesus. Jesus is like, why do you keep mentioning me, girl? Leave me out of it. Now, why am I in it? So he flew to Bogota for a break. After arranging last Saturday's Uniting the Kingdom rally, he planned to travel to the coast, but in a video posted on X, it revealed he was detained and held while trying to enter. The ex-English Defence League leader said, I landed at Bogota, but, and what do you think happened? Detained, threat to national security, deported, spent all day in a detention room. Beautiful, beautiful. That's all you deserve. That's all you deserve, you thin-nostrilled cow, you bitch. That's all you deserve. You're saying other people shouldn't come into this country. You stay in this country then. That's what I'm saying. You lot that are all about, oh, immigrants, don't go anywhere. Nobody in, nobody out. Let's see how you get on with that. I'm glad that your name spread far and wide and they said, not you, but guys, don't do it to me. Should I want to visit Colombia, please welcome me. I'm just a cutie, okay? But him, oh, absolutely. Fuck him. Fuck him. Let my Colombianos and my Colombianos know that when I come through, welcome me. Him? Fuck that bitch. He said officials allowed him to book a flight to Panama instead of being returned to the UK. See, he's got money to spend because he's been bankrolled by Israel and other nefarious characters. But after arriving in Panama City, the country's capital, he was held again. He added, I landed in Panama and what do you think happened? Detained and being deported. Beautiful. I've sat here now for 6 hours and spent the last 24 hours of my time on a plane and sat in rooms. You should have sat in your yard in Britain. So, Colombia, the country that exports what? Beautiful women and narcos. And that's why they didn't let you in, you blood clot. Look at what you've reduced Colombia to. A country that exports beautiful women and narcotics. You wanted to indulge in both, allegedly. And then they said, you're not coming in. You shall not pass. That's it has deemed me, because of my political beliefs, a threat to national security. Because you are. Look at what you reduced the country to. Women and drugs. That you want to sniff both up your nose. Robinson was previously deported from Mexico, also for national security reasons. The thug has convictions in the UK for fraud, stalking, assault, using someone else's passport, using threatening behaviour and contempt of court. That, my friends, is why I read the Sun newspaper. Not because I fuck with them, because Hillsborough Massive forever. The reason I wanted to read you the Sun newspaper is because their closing paragraph about this pussy clerk is the thug has convictions in the UK for fraud, stalking, assault, using someone else's passport, using threatening behaviour and contempt of court. The Sun newspaper, the most bottom barrel bullshit paper going, the rag of the raggest in terms of newspaper, called Stephen Yaxley Lennon, aka Tommy Dickhead Robinson, they called him a thug. That has to let you know something, because honestly, the ignorant girlies are fighting. For the Sun newspaper to call him a thug? Oh, honey. Because you'd think that they're by him, or, you know, that they support him. For the Sun newspaper to call you a thug, to basically say that you ain't shit when it also ain't shit. This is the Sun newspaper that was notorious for page 3, women just being topless on page 3. They're calling you a thug. Oh, pack it up. Pack it up. Pack it up. You're done. You're done. That's why I wanted it to, that's why I wanted to read it to you, because even the most shameful of newspapers said you, Tommy Thin Nostrils, cocaine sniffing Robinson, that you are a problem. If that doesn't tell you anything about his character, I don't know what will. So anyway, that's it from me, the baby girl. That's it. We've gotten through another episode and I'm so proud of myself. I keep showing up and I love reading your comments and emails and everything that comes through. I've really put my feet up, but they're moisturized. Don't worry. I've really put my feet up on my table that I've got here. And I hope that everything looks crisp and beautiful this week and sounds crisp and beautiful to a certain degree. Thank you so much for joining me. And I hope that you'll be tuning in for next week's episode too. So that's it. I have been Kelechi Okafor and this has been Front Page Fuckery, where we turn bad news into good conversation. So do remember to send me your front, as in the front pages that you see that you want to share with me, on sym@kelechiokafor.com. I look forward to receiving them so I can also read that out as well. And yeah, just stay well. Comment, like, subscribe, do all of the things that you need to do, and definitely share with a friend, because I guess they're welcome too. Anyway, that's it. Catch you on the other side of the news. Bless up.
Oh, have you heard the news? It's probably been twisted to keep the general population conflicted. Better lick your finger and turn the page. Dissect the lines that paid you to rage. Get out of your Monday drudgery. Turn up the volume on front page fuckery. Yeah.